Yo, 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 welcome to the Legacy Talks podcast. Y'all here with your boy Daryl and my co-host.
This your boy Jay Lloyd, and we are here to talk legacy. So if you want to start a legacy, build a legacy, or leave a legacy, let's go.
Hey, what's going on? What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? It's your boy Justin, Jay Lloyd, here with my co-host. Go ahead.
What's good with y'all, man? It's Daryl.
Yes,
Daryl, aka Tavers Nation. We right, ain't here. Right. Yes, sir.
Y'all ain't know, you know now.
Y'all that see me on IG, you know what I'm saying?
Hey,
y'all
know.
That see me on IG that say DJ, don't call me DJ unless you family. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna just let you know. If you call me DJ, I'm gonna look at you like I don't know you. But man, let's go on here and we just gonna hop right into it. We're not gonna waste no time. So what we gonna do is we're gonna read a couple quotes about our topic for today. So our topic for today is gonna be state of emergency.
Yes.
State of emergency. So I'm gonna start out with a few quotes and then my co-host Jay Lloyd gonna hit y'all with a few more quotes and then we're gonna go ahead and hop into the topic. All right, so the first quote I got is, the state of emergency will remain in effect until such time that we are sure that the threats are contained. So what do you think that quote means, Jay Lloyd?
Read that again for the people that got to hear it two times.
The state of emergency will remain in effect until such time that we are sure that the threats are contained.
You know, that kind of brings in mind of, I never been in the army or nothing, but I like to see myself as a militant person, you know. And it just goes back to military. You know, when you got an enemy in front of you, you in a state of emergency. You got that sense of urgency. You're not thinking about chilling or relaxing or nothing like that because, you know, one wrong move, and that can cost you your life. So you're going to keep driving, you're going to keep pushing, you're going to keep fighting until you know that the threat is gone or contained or eliminated. So that's what I got out of it. That's what it sounds like to me.
Okay. It reminds me of the book that you told me about. And I'm sure you remember this, The Art of War. Because you just talked about it, The Art of War. So it's a state of... You at war, so it's one of those states when you at war where you have nothing left to lose. You can't make a right or left move without contemplating what's going to be the next three moves down the line. Like, you ain't got no time to waste. You make, like you said, you make one wrong move and it's over with. So you really have to be very tactical about how you make every single move in that situation. Like, you don't have time to wait. You don't have time to waste. And the way that I look at that quote is that the threat of me not establishing my legacy, that's how I look at it. The threat of me not establishing my legacy. And that's the threat. That's the threat that I'm seeing. That's the threat. You know, because we don't know how much time we got. So, you know, time could be a threat itself too.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the first one. Okay. So we go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that's true. Cause nobody know, the day or the hour, you know, so you always just want to have that sense of urgency with whatever it is, be in a state of emergency in your mindset. And you get a lot more done quicker. You know, a lot more is done. You feel better about yourself because you're moving at fast pace and you're getting a lot of stuff accomplished. And, you know, that's all it takes to build that momentum, those small, easy victories. So when you take an action each and every day, that's a victory, you know. And it's just as small as when you wake up in the morning, making your bed. That's a victory right there. Something so small. How do you expect to do something real big or accomplish something major and you can't even make up your bed? You know, so that's what it puts me in the mode of. It just gets me in that militant mindset. Like you said, art of war. That's what it's all about. So the quote that I had, it said, the most successful entrepreneurs not only have courage and imagination, They also have a sense of urgency. They're not willing to wait. They have a burning desire to get something done. Now, what do that mean to you, Daryl?
Just read that one more time for the people.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The most successful entrepreneurs not only have courage and imagination, they also have a sense of urgency. They're not willing to wait. They have a burning desire to get something done.
Okay, to me, you know, I'm a writer. So, you know, I used to write a lot of poetry and stuff growing up. So poetry is one of those things where when you have that thought, you got to write it down right away. You can't wait. You can't wait until later to write. I'll write that down later. You wait till later to write that down. You might not even remember what you thought. You can't waste no time. You got to get right to it. As soon as that thought come to your head, you got to get to it. Because when you creative, sometimes, you know, the vision that you have is only for a split second. You're not going to have that vision throughout the whole time. It might be a quick little glimpse into the future. That's what, you know, creativity, a quick little glimpse into the future, whatever it is that you're trying to do. So you have to write that thing down right away, and it just puts you in that state of like, I got to get it done right away. So it's no thinking about it. The thought just shot to your head, and now you got a shot in Peter to put it on some paper. So that's what I think about. It's like, as soon as the thought come to your head, action. As soon as you get to the I, it's right to the A. You got the idea, now you're right to the action.
Yeah, that's definitely vital. You know, a lot of people may think, well, I mean, why do you need to be in the state of emergency? Why do you need to have a sense of urgency like that? Why y'all stressing it out like that? You know, I mean, we young, we living life, we having fun. You know, we could get to our stuff tomorrow. You know, we always have another day. And what I would tell an individual that think like that is, first and foremost, you know, the day or the hour is not promised to no man. I seen old people drop, and I seen young people my age and younger drop like flies. Here today, gone tomorrow. You know, I remember vividly, I was at, right before I was going out of town. Matter of fact, right after I came out of town, when we went to L.A., before I went to L.A., I was at the barbershop, and we was all chopping it up, me, my barber, and his cousin, and a couple other people. And long story short, you know, we was all just having a good time, you know. And one of the guys, he was holding his baby. I didn't even know he had a daughter. He was holding his daughter and just kissing her and everything. And, you know, then went to L.A., came back, and I was on Facebook, and I saw that the brother passed away. He died in a car accident, and you know, it shook me because, you know, for those that don't know, I'm in the insurance and investment business, and so that was a question I didn't even ask him. I didn't even ask him if he had his life insurance in order. You know, I just assumed that he did have it in order. Thank God that he did. But point being, the brother was here one day, and literally the next weekend when I got back on Monday, he passed away. He was gone. You know, left his kids, his wife, you know, parents, and the brother was only 28 years old. And come to find out, he actually was working on a project. He was working on a clothing line, you know. But we all tend to fall in that category of procrastinating, you know. And so sometimes, or most times, I know for me, you know, when I say this, I'm talking to myself for the most part. But we think we got the next day. You know, we think we got next week, a month from now. We plan this stuff out like we got all this time. But time, you know, it's not promised to nobody. So when I seen that, that was a wake-up call, man. Like, I seen the brother one day, and then literally the next week he gone. And it shook me. Shook me, because we was conversating, we was having fun, all that. I mean, you can't look at somebody or look at yourself and say, today gonna be my last day. That's not going to happen. You know, so you have to automatically assume like today is your last day and live it like it's your last and work it like it's your last. So for those people that have that lingering thought of, well, I got tomorrow, I hope that clears some things up, because tomorrow ain't promised to nobody. Nobody.
Man, wow. That was very interesting, that story that you just shared, because I didn't know anything about it. So guys, when we sharing some of the stories on here, we don't know what the other person is talking about. These are conversations we haven't had either. So these are some of our conversations we just broadcasting to y'all. But man, that was deep. So he passed away the next week. Wow.
Yeah.
Man,
yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, we was out that's there. Crazy. I came up to Cali Thursday, went back Sunday night, Sunday evening, and got on Facebook Monday and saw rest in peace and all that. I'm like, what? I couldn't even believe it, man. And when I called,
boy, was that the first time we went or the second time we went to LA?
This was the second time, the most recent. Our last time going out to the LA. Yeah. Yeah, it was mind-boggling.
I'm pretty sure that is very mind-boggling, like to even think about that. But man, I think with the emergency, like the thing that I'm trying to say is with the emergency, I feel like what puts a lot of people in a state of emergency is something negative. Somebody passing away, getting in a car accident. You see, it's always something negative. Why does it have to be something negative that gets us on this path that we don't get us to realize that time is not, we don't have that much time. Time is an illusion. I feel like it's always something negative. Do you think the same thing? Because like, if we think about it, like honestly, bro, what put you in a state of emergency? Like, let me ask you that. What put you in a state of emergency? Because recently you've been saying that now you're in a state of emergency. Was it something that went on around you, or was it a positive? That's the first question I want you to answer. And then after that, just answer, how did that thing put you in a state of emergency?
For me, it was really, you know, last time we did our podcast, and right before, it was either before or after the podcast, we was just talking about our why. You know, and I was talking about if my mom had passed away, and I'm looking down on her like I looked at my pops, in the state that I'm in right now, I would be just extremely upset with myself, because my mom didn't see me make it to that status that I know I'm more than capable of getting to. But the reason I haven't gotten there yet is because I've been lax, I've been sedated, I've been chill. You know, and so me thinking about my mama leaving here, which is negative, it definitely pushed me. And I think negativity really does push people. It's like, you know, it's hard to be positive all the time, like 24/7. That's something that I think people should strive for. But you want to gain you want to gain the advantages of the negativities as well, because it definitely will put you in a whole nother state. You know, like perfect example. So if we take it to sports, you know, Kobe Bryant, that's our favorite player. You know,
I already knew you was going there. That's that telepathy, but I already knew it once you see sports.
look, here's the thing. Kobe, he used negativity to get him to where he was trying to go. So I remember, I forgot what year it was, but he made it to the finals. It might have been 2007. He made it to the finals against Boston and ended up losing. They lost the finals. And I believe that really pushed him and motivated him to the point where he became obsessed with getting a championship. And that following year, which was 2008 or 2009, they ended up winning the championship, and they brutally beat Orlando Magics, you know, with Dwight Howard in. You know, I mean, they tore them up. I don't know if they got swept or they only won one game, but I know the Lakers wasn't for it. And then the following year, when they went for the repeat, they seen Boston again. And you already know the Black Mamba was on, he was on a whole nother agenda. You know, and I believe that was because of that negativity that of losing that made him so obsessed to win. You know, and so I believe people, they need to use their negativities, the negative experiences to drive them to what they trying to get to. You know, now we all have negative thoughts. Now, negative thoughts won't push you. You know, negative thoughts, you got to have positive thoughts. But life is all automatically, whether you like it or not, it's going to throw negativity towards you. You take those negative experiences and you use it to become great. Let it catapult you. Because now you got something where you fighting for something. Even back then, when the civil rights movement was going on, Black people was highly upset. And anytime you get a group of people that's angry, there's going to be some changes. If it ain't furniture movement, it's going to be some changes going on. And that's when they that's when they was marching. That's when they was protesting. And they got us to where we are today because they used those negative experiences to drive them with that sense of urgency to get them to their purpose.
Got you. So that was, I just want to let you know, that was 2008 with the Lakers when they lost.
Okay.
And then against the Celtics, and then they came back in 2010 and won against the Celtics. Seven. So the reason why I was asking you about the negative, because, like, I feel like we do that more with the negative than we do with the positive. Like, I just did a video talking about, like, how to win back-to-back. So on the video, I'm talking about how to take a positive experience and can keep continuing to win off that positive experience. Mm-hmm. So I feel like we don't do that enough. Like if we win, let's say for example, I'm on the basketball team and we win two games straight after we just lost six games. We win two games in a row. Mm-hmm. Or we win two games in a row but we got the mindset that we're gonna lose the next game because we lost six to begin with. It's like, when are we gonna lose? Instead of thinking like practicing, like getting ready to get the next win. Instead of getting ready to get the next win, we thinking about, well, how long is this gonna last? Why are we focused on how long is it gonna last instead of focusing on just getting the next win? Like, it's almost like we expecting to lose. And so that's what I was talking about. Like, I'm not saying that we don't do it. We just do it more with the negative. Like, if one negative thing happened, we like, oh, well, it can't get no worse than this. And then if it get worse than that, then we like, oh, well. And we'll say that again, and then just continue to keep getting negative because we keep feeding negative energy into it. So what I want us to do is, like, just look at it in a different lens so we can feed positive into the positive. So when you win, just be like, I'm going to win again and again and again. And that's what I'm saying, like, when I'm talking about, like, how we looking at it. I just want us to be more positive in it. Like, when we get the win, think the next one is going to be the win. And the next, like, think that you're going to get the win. Don't think that you're going to lose. And I think a lot of our mindsets are like that. And it's just based on, number one is the culture, man. It's the culture. You know what I'm saying? Definitely the culture. You know, if you're around the wrong people, if you're around people that's constantly, let me put it like this. You may be around people that's losing in their mind, but they're actually winning. They got a job they get to go to, not they got to go to. They got a job they get to go to, but they thinking what they have to do. They thinking they got to. So they thinking about the obligation instead of the opportunity that they're getting. And they have so many opportunities, but they're focused on, oh man, I don't feel like doing this. They focus on their feelings instead of their principles. Like, it's really that simple. Like, you focusing on the bad stuff instead of the positive things. And it's like, if you look around you, it might be a lot of small wins around you, but you're focusing on the one big loss that you had. I mean, yes, you're going to get losses. One, that some may be bigger than the other, but we just got to get out of that mind state of focusing on those losses and really just focusing on the winning. And the way that you focus in on the winning is by, when you win, keep yourself in that state of emergency as if you just lost. So treat the win. If you treat the win really like it's a loss, like in the mentality of like practicing and going hard. I don't mean in the mentality of like, oh, I'm a loser. No, I mean treat it as if like you just got blew out by 40 points in the game. You're not going to go out the next game and with the same attitude, you're going to go out like that ain't never finna happen again. And that's what I mean by that state of emergency. Like, just keep that mentality as you're getting those wins. But along the way, when you're getting those wins, you can celebrate a little bit, just a little bit. You can celebrate a little bit, but just remember to keep yourself in a state of emergency because, you know, milestones are only part of that marathon or that journey that you're on.
Yeah, that's big. That's real big because you just emphasize making sure you keep those positive thoughts. You know, you focus on the goal at hand. And, you know, a lot of people can let negative experiences create or produce negative thoughts. Negative thoughts will bring about more negative results. And then you just become negative. And now you just this stinking, thinking individual that, you know, go around. You can, I think Les Brown, the one that said, you know, they're so negative, you could turn the light out and they in the dark and they start growing. They actually grow in the dark because they so, so you definitely wanna, you know, keep that positive thought. But you know, I hope the listeners learn something today. I learned something just now. You know, negative experiences actually could catapult you to greatness. You know, let's look at Michael Jordan. The man got cut in high school. And that ticked him off so bad. It messed him up so bad that it encouraged him to practice day in, day out, practice. And he became obsessed with it. And now, you know, when you think GOAT of basketball, you automatically think of Michael Jordan. You automatically think, and it all started from this man getting cut from the basketball team. What if he didn't get cut from the basketball team? What if he actually made the team? Would he still be Michael Jordan? And of course, that's a question. That's a question we'll never be able to answer. But if I had to put my money on anything, I would say he wouldn't be the MJ that he is today, you know, because that really encouraged him to give it all he got. You know, he wanted to be a basketball player. When he got cut, he was like, you know what? I'm going in. I'm going to practice day in, practice day out. And that's all he was focused on. That's all the man was focused on. You know, so we just got to use those negative experiences to get us to where we're trying to go. And so if people can learn to use that negative experience as motivation, that can actually create the state of emergency. That could create the sense of urgency that people need in order to get to where they're trying to go. Because it puts you in an abundant mindset as opposed to scarcity mindset. You know, you have a mentality that you scarce on time, but your opportunities are limitless. So you like, wait, I gotta get this going because I got so much that needs to be done. Just like you were saying, you know, writing stuff down, writing your ideas and stuff down while you thinking about it, because you fool around and time get away from you. Now something else don't came up. You don't forgot all about what was in your mind. That's why you got to write everything down, because your mind is a monkey mind. It jump around, just, you know, climbing everywhere and jumping everywhere. So you got to be able to keep that focus on what you want.
So let me ask you a question, right? So we talking about how, you know, we want to be in a state of emergency and all of this and that, but how can I, as a person, retain my positive energy when I'm constantly surrounded by negative people? And it's not by choice, because let's say I'm 14, 15 years old, and I live with my parents and my siblings, but all of them have that negative mentality. They have that poor mindset. And I'm the one positive person, but just me trying to be positive around them drains so much of my energy that when I get back to myself, it's like, even if I'm in a state of emergency, like I just drain most of my emergency fund, I drain most of my emergency fund on the people around me because my environment is bad.
Yeah, that's a real good question. I know I was actually in that type of situation and environment. And what you got to do is you got to isolate yourself as much as possible from everybody. You know, if you got to go to the library and do everything up there or go to Starbucks or wherever you got to go, go. You know, and that's what I was doing, you know, staying out of the environment that I was in, because that really can make you or break you. You know, people don't believe in energy, but I believe in it heavy. You know, energy is everything, you know, so you got to isolate yourself from those negative people. And first and foremost, you got to understand and realize that you can't change people. You can't change the way people are. And you got to accept people for who they are so you don't go crazy. Like, why is this individual like that? Why are they doing that? I just don't understand. You'll go crazy doing that. And once you start asking why about other people, like Jim Rohn said, I wouldn't sign up for that class. That's just not a class I would sign up for, because you would never know. There could be a million answers, a million reasons, but you would never know at all. So I wouldn't even think about it. I was focused more on what can I control. If I can't control this environment, it's time for me to grind it out to get out of this environment, get in another environment. You know, so you should be focused on that day in and day out, just focused on getting out that environment if you got negative people around you, because sooner or later, they will rub off on you if you allow it to. You know, a great person can only be great for so long, especially when he's in a negative environment like that, you know, because that can make you or break you.
But we talking about, I get everything you saying, bro. I get it. 100%. These are the people that I love. So when I start to pull back, they're going to feel some type of way. But I still want to be able to show them that I love them. So how do I do that and still protect myself at the same time, if that makes sense?
You let them know that, you know, you got something major that you're working on. Major project or something. Listen, y'all won't see me as much because I'm so excited. I'm pumped up and excited about this deal that I got going on. I know y'all don't understand it right now, but listen, I won't be around as much because I'm really getting this deal done. And so I will put them on the calendar. It may sound messed up, but you put them on the calendar. If you want to, you know, still get that family time in, still get that quality time in with your family, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. You know, Houghton Bug said it best. And if y'all don't know Houghton Bug, look him up. He's a network marketing guru. Michael Jordan, the network marketing, the brother making $1 million a month. That's insane. But the man was talking about how, like, his family and all of them was negative, and he had to put limits on when he would talk to his family. He said even his own mama.
No. His mama. Don't be specific.
Right.
Mama, I can't talk to you right now.
He said he had to put a time limit on talking to his mom because she was negative, you know, but it all paid off in the end, because look, now he's making $1 million+ a month. He done bought his mom a house, her dream house, by the way. Bought his father his dream car. And I'm sure that he did a lot of other stuff. But point being is, he had to sacrifice that time that he was spending with his family, that time that he was normally doing different things that he was doing, to work on his vision, to be able to get his family everything they wanted. So he was like the eagle in his family, you know, because eagles create. That's what they do. They make stuff happen. You got eagles and you got chicken. So for the listeners, y'all might want to decipher, which are you? Are you a chicken or you an eagle?
And then, chicken or eagle. Look, don't take your ducks to eagle school.
You know, oh man. Hey, the only time chicken flies when they scared. But eagles, they flying all the time. They soar, and they even soar over the highest bird. They up there with the jets. No bird gets up that high. So, you know, it's a sacrifice to get there.
Okay, so let's shift it a little bit. Let's shift this a little bit more since we still talk about state of emergency. So the question I'm going to pose, and you can answer it first, and then I'll answer it right after you, is how do you shift to a state of emergency if you're already in one and you don't know it? What if you're in a state of emergency? Like, everything that's going on around you is like signs going around you saying state of emergency, but you can't see those signs because you're not looking for them. So in other words, how do I know if I'm in a state of emergency?
You would know you're in a state of emergency when you're doing everything that you can to do what needs to be done. So if you're not aware of you needing to be in the state of emergency, it's going to be tough. It's going to be real tough, you know. But when you are aware that you need to be in a state of emergency, like me, my mom, you know, she older in age, you know, women don't like telling their age for whatever reason. If I was a woman and I was looking at you, I kid you not, I would wear a shirt that say I'm 80 years old because I look 40. You think I don't want people to know I'm 80? You got me messed up. But anyway, that's beside the point. My bad. But anyway, get back to the topic at hand. I don't forget what I was saying. but you first and foremost, you got to be aware. You have to be aware of those signals, those signs, you know. And it's hard to be aware if you don't know your why. You don't know your purpose. If you don't know your purpose, I mean, life could throw you all kind of signs. You could see a homeless man with a sign that's telling you exactly what you need to see, and you're not on that frequency wavelength, so you still stuck where you at, because you don't know your purpose. So you got to know your purpose, and that's a whole nother topic for a whole nother podcast. You got to know your purpose, you know, and that's what could get you in a state of emergency. Because how would you be in a state of emergency and you don't know why you're in a state of emergency? Imagine an army, they marching, and they about to get ready for war, but ain't nobody to go to war with. They just out there. Now they look dumb, because they like, wait, who are y'all fighting? I don't know. So y'all just out here.
I don't know. Hey, remember that from Ms. Marsh? I don't know.
Right. I don't know. Hey, that was them calculus days, man. Calculus days. What was that? Junior year? That was junior year.
Nah, that was senior year, my brother. That was senior year.
Senior year of high school. We was asking the teacher. Man. We was asking the teacher, how do we do this problem? And she'll hit us with, oh, no. I was like, come on now. Come on, you know this. But she wanted us to figure it out. She put us in a state of emergency. The homework was due after lunch, and I didn't know how to do it. That's state of emergency.
You coming there early period. Hey, Ms. Moss, how you do this? Just do it like 2 hours. What you mean how you do that?
Right. So yeah.
Let me hop on that on the question. So yeah. I think if you unaware that you need to be in a state of emergency, how you get in a state of emergency or how you switch your mentality to being in a state of emergency is by having accountability partners. So I think that's one way to do it. Having accountability partners, because when you have accountability partners, you have other people that will hold you accountable. Not saying that you can't hold yourself accountable, but it's a different type of energy. When we call it synergy. You know, it's synergy when you have more than one person on the same accord. So when you got somebody else holding you to a high standard, when you're already holding yourself to a high standard, that allows you and the other person to go to a higher standard. You know, and when you see somebody else, in other words, when you see somebody else on their stuff, you can't come around them if you ain't going to be on your stuff. Because you're going to feel bad that you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. So I think that's one, have an accountability partner, because that'll do it. Two, having that accountability partner will give you a different perspective, because they'll be able to analyze a situation. They may be able to analyze that situation in a way that you can't, because you see a situation different when you're this person in the situation versus the person on the outside of the situation. So they may see something that you can't even see. They see your blind spot. You can't see your blind spot because you focus on running. So they see your blind spot for you. They let you know, oh, no, don't switch lanes. There's somebody right there. They got your back. In other words, they got your back or they got your side. You know what I'm saying? And that's why you got to do it. And that's why it's good to have more than one person. Because think about it. You got two accountability partners. Let's think about it. Let's say you can only see forward, right? You got one accountability partner on your left, you got one on your right, then you got a third one. Say you got three. You got a third one behind you. So all you have to do, and I'm not saying all you have to do, but now that allows you to be able to focus on what's in front of you, and they'll cover your back, your sides, and then you do the same thing for them. You switch to one of those other positions for them, you see their side or you see their back. So now it's like y'all all working the same angle for each other. And so y'all all pushing each other to reach to that higher level. So if they see something that you can't see because you're blindsided or you're focused on what you focus on. So that's why it's good to have those accountability partners. Like, I can't say it any better than that. Like, I think that was a very good example for me to cover that with them being around you. Okay.
Yeah, that was real good. That, when you said that, that remind me of going to the gym and you got a personal trainer, and I'm thinking of this one individual that's he a beast, he a killer. I'm gonna have him as my personal trainer one day, but today ain't the day. And
who is that guy?
His name is Will Franklin. If y'all know him, shout out to him. If he ever hear this, get a hold of this. Shout out to Will Franklin. I love him. He cool people. He's like a mentor. I believe he's on a radio station too on 102.3 in the morning on Tuesdays. If you want to get some motivation from him, but just the horror stories that I heard about him. People were saying, oh, he's going to push you to the max. He's going to push you to the limit. He's going to say some crazy stuff to make you do what you need to do. But it let me understand that when you have somebody holding you accountable or holding you to a standard, you can't do nothing but get there. Because first and foremost, people got this big, big, big three-letter word called ego. I know I have an ego out this world, and I'm not finna look bad for nobody. And if I gotta do one more push-up, and that push-up might kill me, I'm gonna do that push-up or I'm gonna die trying, because I'm not finna look bad. I'm gonna at least look like I was in a fight, at least look like I was giving it my all. And so when you got an accountability partner, come on now, who wanna look bad in front of them? Come on, did you do such and such? He'd be like, dang. I forgot. Oh, shoot. Like, that's embarrassing. You know, so when you got that accountability partner, it could definitely put you in a sense of urgency, because, like, you don't want to, first and foremost, you don't want to look bad in front of people. Second and foremost, you don't want to let yourself down. You don't want to let them down. The thought of somebody asking you, your accountability partner asking you, hey, did you get that work done? And now you got to explain that. See what had happened was, you know, when anybody
started off like that. They ain't gonna hear none of that. You already know what time it is.
Right. They start off like that, you already know what time it is. Like, okay, all right, whatever.
What excuse they got?
Real.
Because you know that's all it is.
Man, and what are excuses is a good question.
But I'm going to say this, though. And I'm gonna say this with, you know what I'm saying, the most respect possible. There are valid reasons and excuses for not doing anything, but that still doesn't excuse the fact you didn't do it. Let me say that one more time. there are valid reasons and excuses why you didn't do something, but that does not excuse the fact that you did not do it. Mm-hmm. If you gave your word to say you was gonna do something and you don't do it, what that tells me now is that your word doesn't mean anything. You know what I'm saying? And what that reminds me of is the word potential. Okay, so I ran track in high school, and Coach Shirley used to always say, if somebody tell you that you got a lot of potential, all that really means is that you haven't done anything yet. You haven't surmounted to anything yet. Somebody say you got potential, you haven't used, you haven't utilized it yet. You got potential. So you got, you know, and everybody has potential to be something, to do whatever they want to be in life. But is everybody going to do that? Absolutely not.
Right.
And that's because they make their own choices. But I'm saying that to say that when you say you're going to do something, it really does not matter what happens in between you saying you're going to do something. You just need to do it, regardless of, you know, whatever else is going on. And I know life happens. I know life happens. But I'm saying this in terms of your dreams and your goals. Don't allow life events to stop you from reaching your dream or goals. You may have to shift course. You may have to go left, go right, go back. You may have to go back, like you get on a video game. If you die on your last life, you might have to go back and play that level again. But just remember, this time, like, this is real life. So when you die, it's over. So keep that in mind. That's why we're talking about state of emergency. Like, when you die, it's over. You don't get another chance. You only got one chance at life. So put yourself in a state of emergency to take care of business.
You know,
and that's really what I was saying. What was your question again? Like, I want to make sure I answer your question. I didn't skip over it.
No, you answered it. And when you answered it, you know, when you was talking about excuses, you know, no excuses. It reminded me of my godmom. You know, rest in peace to my godmom, Nancy Drew. But you know, she was a lady of no BS. She believed in no excuses, and she was in the business and financial services for many years, and she always got the job done, no matter what. And recently she passed away. She passed a day after my birthday. But let me tell y'all what happened. So it was December. I want to say November. She was diagnosed with cancer, I believe colon cancer. And it was in stage 3, and it was very aggressive, and it was already at her kidneys. And, you know, in the business, you know, she have teams. She have a team that she, you know, manage and lead, you know, get them promoted and get them to the next level. But unfortunately, she wasn't able to do that anymore because she just got diagnosed with a terminal illness. And so the cancer, it was beating her up pretty aggressively, you know. And she was in the hospital, and they was trying to do all they can. And then she snuck out the hospital to go to her office to take care of some business because she just believed in no excuses. And the day before she passed away, she was paying all her bills. She was paying the office bill. She was paying other bills pertaining to the business because she knew that it was only a matter of time that she was gonna die, you know. And it was very sad. But even then, I share that story to say this: death was staring her in the face, and she always believed in paying her bills on time. And she did not let death stop her. She didn't let her sickness, her illness, stop her from getting her responsibilities done. You know, and that was a big, 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 big takeaway that I now have in my arsenal, because literally she was getting ready to die, y'all. And she made sure everything was taken care of, so when she passed, people wouldn't have to worry about nothing. And to me, that is one of the most powerful things you can do. That is a extreme version of no excuse. She believed in getting her bills paid on time. She believed in operating her business, and she did all that she had to do before she passed away because she didn't have no excuses. So that right there, that helped me understand if she went through that, there's no excuse for me because I wasn't diagnosed with a terminal illness. But most of the listeners that's on here, you know, you may think that this is not a perfect time because the kid's doing this, the job got that going, project over here, project over there. But little do you know, this is the perfect timing. There will never be a perfect time for you to do anything. You got to make it the perfect time because there's no excuses. No excuses. And time waits on no man or woman. And you got to get in where you fit in and make sure you keep it moving just like time and get stuff done.
Yeah, man, I think you really hit it on the nail with that one, man. Like, I mean, as far as like the state of emergency, man, it's not really too much we can talk about. So, I mean, I think we're going to kind of end on that note. You know what I'm saying? We're going to go over one more thing before we end. And I'm going to just end y'all with a quote before we get on up out of here. Yeah. You know? And it's gonna tackle that same thing, you know, that same thing. So the state of emergency and critical nature of the times do not allow me, as they do not allow anyone, to embark on a blame game. So that means that you cannot blame anybody else for your life. You can't blame anybody else for what's happening in your life. You have the only person you can blame is you. That's it. That's really it. And if that don't put you in a state of emergency, hey, I don't know what will. I don't know what will. I don't know what will. But right. Get them accountability partners around, you know. Maybe that'll do it.
Yes, sir. Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate y'all for stopping by, listening to us. I hope y'all truly you guys learned something from this. You know, even as we was doing the podcast, I learned a lot. I know I'm going to go back and I'm going to take notes, even though I was in it. Listen, most of the time when I'm going from the heart, I'm talking about me, you know, stuff that I need to get done. And I just hope and pray that it's something that you guys can catch as well, so it could catapult you to your greatness and get you to where you're trying to go in life as well. So, you know, ladies and gentlemen, that's all I have. Daryl, is there anything else you want to say?
Man, I just want y'all to be great. That's really all I want, man. So if you gotta put yourself in a state of emergency to do that, if that mean no going out, if that mean no drinking, no smoking, if that mean no sweets, whatever that mean, whatever that state of emergency is for you, do it, because it's going, man, in the end, it's really just going to help catapult you to that next level. That's it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, well, you guys have a wonderful day or evening whenever you guys listening to this, and we will surely be back for more. Talk to y'all later.
Nails did, hair done, where the swag on? Thick chick, the type of girl you could bag on. I seen her, I could take you to the VIP. All you gotta do is come roll with me. I promise I can fulfill your fantasy. Beauty out this world, I swear you touch another side of me. Especially when you're next to me. Excessively thinking how this was meant to be.